Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the Civic Media app worldwide and on your local radio station in Richland Center, Wausau, and beautiful Amory. We welcome you in for a Tuesday, the 6th of December, 2022. Get the date right yet. Welcome in, Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers. Mr. Zommers, how's your Tuesday going so far?
Going pretty well.
You know, I'm awake. I'm here. We're working on the rest.
Very good. Very well. You're up early, of course, with Pat Kreitlow at Up North News, and I listened into some of that show today, and Chad Holmes joined him in the last few minutes as well from Wausau. So we're just a newsy family across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network, and good to have a little bit of Chad in the morning as well. So, and good to have you all in. We have a great show for you today lined up, coming up in just a couple of minutes here at a quarter past the hour. My former boss, that's former state senator Dale Schultz, joins us live from Richland Center via the Zoom. And we are going to talk a little bit about what's happening on the Richland campus, his time as chair of the University and Higher Ed Committee in the State Senate, as well as his time as a Senate Majority Leader. We'll be talking a little shared revenue, and we'll be asking Dale how his deer hunting went this year. The holidays, having worked for Dale for several years, the holidays at the Schultz house are a huge time, and the holidays begin with opening deer season. And you know that it's the holidays when deer season begins, so we'll check in with Dale and see how his deer stand went, and a lot of other things, asking them a little bit about the landscape of the current Republican Party. So great to have my former boss back with us this morning. And then in hour two, another great guest, Matt DeFour, who was formerly with the Wisconsin State Journal. He is now the State Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Watch. And he is out with a great and interesting story on gerrymandering today. You can go to wisconsinwatch.org, O-R-G, wisconsinwatch.org, and you can pull up his article this morning and read that if you would like before we have Matt on. It's entitled, Wisconsin's Assembly Maps Are More Skewed Than Ever. What happens now? Gerrymandering continues to present problems for Democrats and democracy in Wisconsin, but Republicans are unlikely to address the situation anytime soon. So we'll talk to Matt DeFour in the second hour. So all kinds of great things for you today on the big show. What do you need to know today? Well, we can tell you weather-wise. Today it's going to be calm, kind of the quiet before the storm. It's going to get a little snowy, at least for parts Wausau and south of Wisconsin. Looks like for Thursday-ish, not really sure how much snow is going to be moving in, but could be several inches of snow. But today in Richland Center, expect mostly cloudy skies and a high near 38 degrees. In Wausau today, we'll see increasing clouds with a high of 32. And in Amory today, mostly sunny and a high of 25. So more of the weather that perhaps a little bit of stormy weather coming up later on in the week, a little bit later. Headlines this morning, Georgia runoff, it's election day. In the runoff race for the U.S. Senate between Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock and Republican challenger Herschel Walker, after an impressive early voting period, voters in Georgia will head to the polls today to cast their ballot in what is expected to be a tight race. Here in Wisconsin, the state legislature's most prominent supporter of overturning the 2020 election result has launched a campaign for the state Senate. Of course she has, just weeks after her Republican colleagues in the state assembly banned her from meeting with them privately. Republican State Senator Representative Janelle Brandegen of Menominee Falls launched a campaign Monday to replace State Senator Alberta Darling of River Hills, a longtime Republican lawmaker who retired from the legislature's upper house last week. Brandegen will challenge one of her assembly colleagues who barred her from the closed-door meeting, Representative Dan Nodal of Germantown and Robert Albrightson of Brown Deer, will be all in the February 21st primary. Democratic State Rep Deb Andraka of Whitefish Bay decided against launching a campaign for the seat, so we'll see if any Democrats challenge the Republicans in Senator Darling's seat in the 8th. Conservative members of the United States Supreme Court appeared to side with a graphic designer who does not want to work for a same-sex couple on their wedding website. The conservative justices suggested an artist or someone creating a customized product could not be forced to do so by the government and express a message that violates their religious beliefs. Meanwhile, supporters of LGBTQ rights in the state of Colorado, where the business is located, responded that the designer is simply seeking a license to discriminate in the marketplace. Have you gotten your flu vaccine yet? The flu vaccine appears to be a very good match this year to the strains currently circulating, according to CDC Director Rochelle Wuckersley. She said at a news conference yesterday. However, she noted that the flu vaccines are lagging behind the pace of previous years, even as the virus continues to intensify across the country. Get your flu shot. I have not gotten mine yet, Aaron. Have you gotten yours?
I have not. I need to get on that.
I was supposed to the first week I started here, and I put my flu shot off and my fourth COVID booster, so I need to get that going. Overseas today in Ukraine, Russia launched a fresh barrage of missiles towards Ukraine yesterday as it accused Kyiv of striking military airfields deep inside its territory. The attacks cut off water and electricity supplies in some areas amid freezing temperatures and killed at least one person, according to local authorities. The port city of Odessa appears to be among the worst affected regions, as officials say all pumping station and reserve lines are without power. And 30,000 remain out of power today in North Carolina after a power substation was attacked by gunfire. We'll have more on that later in the show. Stay tuned. We have an expert on politics, an all-around great guy. My former boss, State Senator Dale Schultz, joins us after the break on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Oh, how I hate to get up in the morning. Oh, how I'd love to remain in bed. For the hardest blow of all is to hear the bugler call. You've got to get up, you've got to get up, you've got to get up this morning. Someday.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is coming up at 15 past the hour of 8 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, the 7th of December 2022. And that, maybe quite not as in key, that was a song I often heard as my former boss would be driving early in the morning to places like Nisida or Hazel Green, and he would leave from Richland Center, and he would call me, and he'd say, look, I'm already an hour on the road. You know, get up. We got things to do. I am welcomed this morning by my former boss and longtime friend, the former state senator from the 17th Senate District in Southwest Wisconsin, former Senate Majority Leader for Republicans, Dale Schultz, joins us from Richland Center. Dale, how are you this morning?
Todd, I am absolutely terrific, and I'm just thrilled to be with you today because, you know, Brady Ewing is sort of the pride of Richland Center right now. Tune in the football games and hear his name and feel good about him. And now I can turn on my radio in the morning, listen to Civic Media, and be reminded that we now have a competitor for the pride of Richland Center, Todd Allbaum.
You are way too kind. Brady Ewing's accomplishments far outweigh my own, but that's very kind of you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I have high hopes for Civic Media and you, and I'm just delighted with the impact that you have made in a very short time on some thorny issues in our county, which, as you know, is poorer than average in Wisconsin, to put it mildly, struggles, but has a tremendous body of wonderful people who really pitch in together to solve the community's problems.
Absolutely. I will get into that a little bit later. Dale's joining us for most of this hour, so we'll have a little bit of time to get into that. I want to take a minute, Dale, because we do have the program does go statewide in Wausau, in Amory, and of course streaming all over the state and all over the country. I know my friend, one of your former coworkers, Alex Henvey, listening in this morning down in Dallas, Texas, getting things done down in Dallas. We've got people listening this morning in Florida, so all over the country. But those that might not know the backstory, I've talked a little bit about my relationship with you and working with you over the years. That's a lot of who I am, and I bring that to the show. But for people who don't know, let's just talk a little bit. I've known you since 1982 when you first ran for state assembly, and I was 14 at the time and volunteered on your campaign, and then volunteered on and off for a number of years. But not just that. You and your lovely wife, Rachel, lived out on your farm for several years, and Dale would hire me in high school to go out and drive out there and clean his the barn out. And so, I mean, I've worked for you, not just politically, but also doing chores and stuff. So you've had a great influence on my life. And so that's kind of the backstory to this. But then you ran for Dick Kruel was the state senator for the 17th Senate District, got appointed by former Governor Tommy Thompson. You ran in the special race in 1992 and got elected. And then I ran your first reelect in 1994 when you were the number one target of Democrats. So you and I have had a long history. And so that's kind of the backstory of this. But tell folks kind of where you grew up, because I think a lot of people just assume you always grew up on a farm. Tell people where you grew up and kind of your early childhood story, if you could, please.
Sure. I grew up in Madison and spent summers on my maternal and paternal grandparents' farms. My mother hailed from Polk County, just outside of Frederick, and my father grew up on the farm that Rachel and I now own and actually have expanded. We have 210 acres in western Sauk County, about 17 minutes from our home in Richland Center. I went to Madison Central and to Madison West High School, on to the University School of Business, graduated, and really feel blessed to have had the opportunities I've had to do a number of things in life. I've been a real estate broker. I've had the opportunity to work for the state in anti-poverty programs. I have been able to farm on a part-time basis my whole life, because it only took me 1 year to figure out that I needed the job to support my bad habit of farming. About all of that, it seems that you kept popping up. I want to ask you a question. How many times, apart from the side jobs, did you actually work for me on a payroll?
Well, I actually worked for you on a payroll 5 different times in government service, and you had a nickname for me often. Would you like to share that with people?
No, but I want to say that it was sort of like the mob. We just kept sucking you back in.
Dale likes to refer to me as the Billy Martin of the Schultz office, because Billy Martin, the former manager of the New York Yankees, was fired by George Steinbrenner, the owner, and they kept bringing him back. But as he liked to point out, I was hired 5 times by Dale, never fired, though. I like to add that. But he liked to call me the Billy Martin of the Schultz office. I just kept coming back.
Yeah, well, that's true. And you did a great job each time. And each time the growth was evident. And you finished up your career, I believe, as my chief of staff. Although I will always be grateful for and remember you as the chief of communications. And I know that that's been your love all along. And I was lucky enough to be able to tap into that, because you made me look really good over the years. When I was in the state capitol, especially when I was majority leader of the top job in the state Senate.
Well, you're too kind, Dale. I appreciate that. I've told people, I told Scott Klug when he was here last week, I also worked for him for a while in between stints with you. And the 4 male figures in my life that had the most influence, my father, and then you, Scott Klug, and Bo Ryan. So you are certainly the top people who influenced me in my life, not just politically, but Dale liked to teach lessons to everybody, not just me. But there were several times when he was majority leader, and you know, we learned from each other. Dale taught me a lot, and as he said, maybe I taught him a couple of things as well. Part of that is building relationships with the media. And Dale would get very frustrated when he would call into the office and I would not be there. They say, well, Todd's over having coffee with a reporter. And one time Dale called me, I picked up, and he didn't even say hello. He said, hey, less coffee, more on time. I'm like, all right, I get it.
Now, Todd, I remember the story a little bit differently. I encouraged you to actually build relationships with the media. maybe one time early on. For the most part, I was smart enough to realize that if the media knew you, trusted you, that was good for me when you were my spokesperson or lining up opportunities for me to get my message out.
It's very true. It's very true. It's just those funny stories along the way that, you know, I've said that, and you've said this as well, so I'm not talking out of school. You know, you were not always the easiest guy to work for over the years because you demanded a lot of your staff because you really wanted to get things done for your constituents. And it also, that taught me to keep your nose to the grindstone. So, I mean, it went both ways, right? I mean, you demanded a lot, but you also taught a lot. And one of the things I've admired for you, even though we didn't always see eye to eye, we could talk things out, and you always kept your constituents at the forefront of what you were doing. And that's something I think is sorely missing from a lot of legislators today.
You're too kind. My children refer to me as an ogre sometimes because I'm so hard-nosed about work. It's a cultural thing with me, being 100% German. What did you expect? But you know.
But your dad, just interrupt. I had the pleasure of knowing your father very well, Walter. He was a pharmacist here in Madison, but for many, many years. But he was a hard worker. Both your parents. I mean, your mother was an attorney. She represented the family, the victim of the Sterling Hall bomber. Here in Madison, she was a Democrat. So again, you got both sides of the spectrum politically, but both your parents were extraordinarily hard workers.
Well, I was expecting you to tell the audience this morning that as a child, I actually delivered the Capital Times.
You did, yeah.
Newspaper, because in those days, I had a hard time getting up in the morning.
Well, see, you learned, you passed that on to me. I want to talk a little bit, Dale, about subjects of the day, and one of the big things is you started early on being in Richland Center. I'm from there. I still go back quite a bit. My mom is there. I have friends there. Is this issue of the announcement a couple weeks ago by UW System and Platteville to close the campus at Richland Center? They're saying they're going to move, you know, programs, but for all intent and purposes, they're closing the campus there. You, of course, were Senate Majority Leader. You were the chair for several years of the Senate Higher Education and University Committee. You were on, in addition to chairing it, you were on it for several years. You, your wife, your children are all graduates of UW-Madison. You know this university system better than probably anybody else in the state. When this was announced, Dale, were you surprised?
Yeah, I was, and I was devastated because the people who inhabited this county way before I got here loved education. Chief among those people is somebody you know very well, Marge Wallace, your grandmother. Mm-hmm. But she was joined by a whole host of educators who carried on a tradition and a love of education and understood what it would mean for the young people in this community. And, you know, I've been recently paying real attention to the computer wars that are going on and the need to start manufacturing computer chips in this country. And like every parent in Richland Center, I was one of those folks that said, we just got to get our kids access to the great world-class university system that we have. And the key to that is keeping a campus strong and vital in Richland Center. And I made it my business to do that in partnership with a whole host of people, many of whom have been on your show in this community, to make sure that the door was open for the young people from this community to get a kind of education, a good paying job that you could raise a family on and we could all be proud of.
Well, we have about a minute remaining before the first break. We'll come back and pick it up. But I want to make the point here that you spent time not only on the Richland campus, but also the Platteville campus, which you represented as well. And for a time, the Baraboo campus, which you also at some points over your political career represented as well. And these are just like democracy and everything else. You have to nurture it. You were nurturing these campuses in higher education.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And I also made it my business to understand and be supportive of the other campuses, which from time to time struggled around the state, and to remember that there were people in the communities that they served who are very similar to the people I represented. You know, let's be clear. Education is good for everyone. And if you don't believe that, try ignorance someday. We have young people here who have had extraordinary experiences because of our international program, the quality of the faculty here, and they've gone on and done very well. And it, I just shudder to think about the fact that for some people, that opportunity may not be here in the future.
We're talking with State Senator, former State Senator Dale Schultz, live from Richland Center. We are in Madison. We'll pick the conversation back up on the other side of the break. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Uniform away and move to Philadelphia and spend the rest of my life in bed.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, one of the tunes you might hear if you're in the Schultzmobile driving down on Highway 80 somewhere in Juneau or Sauk or Richland County sometime. I'm joined by my former boss and former state senator and Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz, live from Richland Center. We are in Madison here, but he joins us via Zoom from Richland Center. Dale, before the break, again, we were talking about this announcement by UW System of closing the UW-Platteville-Richland campus after this academic year. I want to cut right to the chase because you knew all these players that happened. So while you were state senator, Dennis Shields was the chancellor at UW-Platteville. I got to know the guy through you by sitting in on a lot of meetings. He was a guy who, you know, was not from the area. I believe he was from Chicago originally, was a Democrat. Never really, I would say, liked being in Platteville other than it was good for his academic professional career. He was laser focused on building the engineering program and the Tri-State Initiative, which you were very instrumental in helping getting legislation to get that done. And you have to say, you have to give him credit to some degree, and yourself and Travis Tranel and others. The Tri-State Initiative and Platteville today is recognized as probably the best engineering school in Madison outside of UW-Madison's. And so, I mean, that was successful. But when this merger happened, you know, Ray Cross was the chancellor of the colleges when you were still in the Senate. He became the system president, and then he kind of changed with Walker and as being governor, and he just kind of became, I don't want to say a Walker acolyte, that might not be fair, but he was under pressure from Republicans and Walker to do certain things. And so when this happened, when this merger happened, I told people, not because Todd was any smart dude, I told people, this is going to be at the end of Platteville. They said, no, this is going to be great because it has all the tenants of Platteville behind it. I said, no, Shields doesn't want this. Cross doesn't care. I said, it's just going to sit out there. So I'm not saying I'm a Nostradamus or anything, but this was not a surprise when this was announced. I mean, don't you think this was a setup, Dale? I mean, this was a setup of the system not paying attention to Richland and Shields not caring.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth to what you say, but there are other people who had a responsibility here too, and that's our legislative delegation. Let's be clear, you know this to be a fact. A lot of the reason why the upper administration of the university system was good to Platteville and Richland Center, because they understood that as majority leader, I had enormous power over their budget. And as at one time as chair of the Higher Education Committee, I had an enormous influence of the policies that were created or emanating from the university system. And I think a lot of people didn't want to cross. But
I know that for a fact. I mean, Dale's a tall dude. He's tall and he's not a small dude. He's muscular and tall and big, and he's very intimidating. I saw you stare at Dewey Strobel when he was in the state assembly. He came over and wanted something, and you just looked at him and looked down on him and he walked away. So yes, Dale was very influential both physically and politically when he was in office.
But, you know, to me, it doesn't matter whether I'm in Platteville or the back of Bailey's Paint Store in Richland Center, or I'm talking to a county board member in Richland County or Sauk County. talking to local officials in Iowa County or in Juneau County. We all kind of want the same thing. You go to enough school board meetings and you hear the same issues over and over and over again. And it's the job of legislators to listen to their constituents and then go to Madison or Washington, D.C. and sort of, you know, explain their hopes, dreams, and fears and sort of fight for them. And, you know, what's shocking is where's been the leadership locally? And I spent 8 years out of office. I haven't been critical at all of our local legislators, but I'd like to see them step up and fight for us. You know, my successor has done very well and is now the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. It's oftentimes referred to as the powerful Joint Finance Committee because it holds the purse strings. And I'd like to see those legislators go down to the university and remind them that Catherine Lyle, former president, came to Richland Center and lauded us as being a shining example of the Wisconsin idea. That didn't disappear. That's still here. The community is willing to step forward and put money on the line above and beyond, even though it's poor, to keep higher education here. And that effort is ongoing here. And, you know, I there were times when I was a legislator, we had very low enrollment. But we got into the recruitment game. We did very successfully at that. And, you know, when Platteville came here and took away our international students, which the community worked very hard on, took away our recruiting, it didn't come as a shock to me to see sort of where we wound up. And it's just so disappointing because it doesn't have to be this way if people reached out and lived up to the rhetoric that they spout.
I just want to clarify something. When you said you were disappointed in the representation locally, I don't think you were meaning the mayor or the county board or local officials of Richland Center. Let's just call it what it is. You're disappointed in your successor, Howard Markline, in the state Senate, because the dude just doesn't show up. He's been nowhere.
Well, it is noted in Richland Center by more than me that only Tony Kurtz has been willing to come up here and talk to the local officials. And yes, I should be very, very clear. When I said local officials, I meant the state legislature, because I'll tell you, the county board here has agonized over this. The school board has been in agony over its situation. And the same is true of our townships and the city council here in Richland Center. You know, we have benefited for over 100 years with something called the Shared Revenue Program. And the idea was the state would provide efficient taxation and then share the revenue with local communities. And right here in Richland County, we're not gaining money every year. We're losing money. And that has resulted in a $6.5 billion budget in Madison. And we're holding bake sales and fundraisers to support basic government here in Richland County. And that shouldn't be. The people here deserve better than that. And every day they've got their shoulder to the wheel doing what they can to keep this community great, our institution strong, but they need strong partners.
And this is exactly what ticks me off, Dale. And just to cut right to the bone for a second, what you said, you served on the Joint Finance Committee, and that alone is powerful just to be a member of that committee. This is where the budget gets written. This is where the tax money gets doled out and appropriated. Then you were Senate Majority Leader, another position of enormous power. But would you agree or disagree? Behind the Senate Majority Leader and the Assembly Speaker, the third most powerful position in the legislature is co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. Yes or no?
Absolutely true.
So there you go. So Howard Markline, your successor, the current state senator for the 17th Senate District that represents Richland Center and the campus, is the third most powerful legislator in the Capitol. And he's been AWOL. And he's done virtually nothing to get funding for the Richland campus, for Platteville, and yet the state is sitting on a $6.6 billion, with a B, billion-dollar budget surplus. Dale, when you were in office, all we would go up to a former Senator Mike Ellis's office on the blackboard and talk about structural deficits with Bob Lang. And now they're sitting on a $6.6 billion surplus. And Howard Markline, the third most powerful legislator in the Capitol, co-chair of joint finance, can't find the funding for a recruiter for the Richland campus. And yet the assistant president, Jay Rothman, has the audacity to say the reason they're closing it is due to low enrollment and no money. It doesn't add up.
Todd, it's worse than that, because our foundation here at Richland Center has offered to pay for the recruiter, and the university system will not allow us to do that. They won't allow us to help ourselves. That's appalling, and the president of the university system is an embarrassment when he allows things like that to happen within the system.
And the guy hasn't even visited the campus. At least you got Tommy Thompson, the former president of the system, to come out. I mean, he was from Elroy. He still has a farm there. You at least got him to come down and spend time at the Richland campus and listen to local people. Jay Rothman has not even been there yet.
Well, Tommy Thompson isn't the only governor that came here. We worked very hard to get notice. We even got George Bush to come here. And when he came here, we were all very proud of the fact that we opened the doors to Republicans, Democrats, because we all worked together in this community for the benefit of the community.
So there's a local drive to save our campus. I know that a lot of great folks who we had on the show last week are going to be back again at different points to talk about what they're doing. There's a petition to save the campus, getting signatures. I believe there are over 1,200 now on the petition. They're trying to get a meeting with the governor, with system president Jay Rothman, with Platteville Chancellor Tammy Ivedovich, and with state senators Howard Markline and Representative Tony Kurtz. You're one of the most savvy people around. You've been around the legislature a long time. You know how things work. Is there any hope in your own opinion, in your own gut, if they could get in to see the governor, is there any way the governor could use political chips if he wants to basically tell the regents and the system president this ain't going to happen? Is there still a chance this could be reversed, in your opinion?
Absolutely. It could come from the legislature. It could come from the governor. And I would hope that they would look at the facts and look at how this all came down. What is really appalling is that the word gets dropped that we're essentially going to close UW-Richland Center right after the election. Gee whiz.
I think
that one out. And it's going to be a fait accompli before the legislature gets back in session. Now, I might have been born on a weekend, but it wasn't last week. And we deserve better here, and the good people of Richland County are going to keep fighting as long as they can. I don't think they'll ever give up until we're back with a campus and access to a world-class university system. I want to say something, Todd.
Yeah.
I don't care where you are in this state, whether it's Amory or Stevens Point or Wausau, Madison, Milwaukee, Manitowoc, Rhinelander, we have a lot of campuses that influence our lives. And this kind of stuff can go on everywhere. We're better than that. We share with one another. We look out for one another. And I'm not just talking about legislators in their own district. There's a reason why we call them state senators, because they have a responsibility to the whole state. And I've done that many, many times, come to the aid of communities that weren't part of my district, because I represented, I wanted to represent the best tradition of good government in Wisconsin and have a broad outlook for the entire state. And, I just hope that people who are listening far and wide will recognize that this could happen to them. And I'd like to think that we'd be there for them, and I'd like to think they'd be there for us right now.
We got about 2 minutes before the break. We'll have you back again after the break here, but you're exactly right. I mean, because of the reasons that Rothman is giving, low enrollment, which was caused by actions from system itself and Platteville, and lack of money, which is direct result of poor leadership of the legislature by Howard Markline and system, that's why they're saying they're closing it. But if you wanna put that formula out there, that formula of made up excuses could be visited on any campus in the state.
Absolutely. And it's not, I want to be careful here. It's not just Howard Markline's fault. I spent 50 years in Republican politics, proud of it. think of myself as a Lincoln, a Teddy Roosevelt, Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, Republican. But you know what? Lately, we've sort of strayed from our core mission of representing people, of selling hope and then delivering it. We somehow or another got into this cultish atmosphere where the only thing we're interested in doing, it seems, is preventing people from voting and participating in our democracy. That's wrong. And the sooner we get back to recognizing that people in our communities have issues that they talk about around the kitchen table, their personal finance situation, their dreams for their children, you know, the price of gasoline, you name it, the better off we're going to be. And I'm calling out the Republican Party as much as I am, you know, any one legislator.
Dale Schultz, in Richland Center, former state senator, back with more with him on the Todd Allball Show. You're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network. And we are back on the Todd Allball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network, coming up on 8:49 on a Tuesday morning. Here on Civic Media, talking with former state senator, former Senate Majority Leader, and my former boss, State Senator Dale Schultz from Richland Center this morning. Talking, Dale, before the break, want to pick that up just on this, I guess, first of all, a speed round. We've got about 7 minutes left here on this hour, but let's do a quick speed round because, as I have said on this program, we don't have to go into all of it about me, but I left the Republican Party in 2011-ish after I sat in a closed caucus in which you had enough and you told me to stay there and you went to your office after all these voter ID bills came up. And you're the only one in the caucus that raised when one of your colleagues said, you know, she said, you know, we need to think what this would do for places like Milwaukee and our colleges. In other words, how can we suppress minority voters and college voters? And you said, hey, we better think about what you actually said here. And you were basically just put down and you said that was it. And you walked down to your office. I stayed there. I went down to your office and said, I'm done. And I have my own reasons. I just couldn't stay in that party any longer. You, of course, had Scott Klug, one of my former bosses, former congressman. He is still calls himself Republican. We had former Congressman Steve Gunderson, who you know very well. He still calls himself Republican. In a speed round here, you still call yourself a Republican, correct?
I do. And I also want to make one quick comment. After you said you were done, I appealed you to stay serve out the term, and you did professionally, and I always appreciated that. I still appreciate that, and I think people should know that.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, I stayed because of you, because of what you were doing, and I mean, you were the only Republican in the state Senate that voted against Act 10. You single-handedly, when Republicans had only a one-seat majority, stopped for a time the ridiculous mining laws changes in northern Wisconsin when Walker, former Governor Scott Walker, said he was going to create thousands of jobs. And of course, after they quote-unquote Schultz-proofed the Senate, in other words, got more than a one-seat majority, they rammed that stuff through. And geez, how many jobs in northern Wisconsin and Mellon are due to a Scott Walker's big mining job creation? Zero. Last time I checked, zero. But the point is here that you stood up to people and did the right thing. You listened to your constituents, and that's why I stayed with you, because I wasn't staying there for the Republican Party. I was staying there to work for Dale Schultz. But quickly, though, so you still consider yourself a Republican. Donald Trump, if he is the nominee in 2024, would you support him?
No.
January 6th, do you believe that was a bunch of friendly people just getting together expressing dissent, or was it an insurrection?
It was an insurrection. I am very pleased with the job that the Justice Department is doing to gather in and charge the people who are responsible for that. But I have to say, honestly and bluntly, it's time that they start working the way up the ladder and getting the higher-ups and holding them accountable.
And finally,
who put forth false electors, the people who plotted near to the White House to bring this about. All these people need to be brought to account, because if we don't, then what happened on January 6th is nothing more than practice.
And finally, the 2020 election, was it free and fair, and did Joe Biden win?
Absolutely. I agree totally with Paul Ryan. It was free, fair. It was one of the safest, most intelligently well-run elections we've had in a long time. People are still open to doing a better job. And I think we should take pride in all those local officials who work so very hard to make sure that our democracy operates as it should. And it's time that we start looking people in the eye who want to spread the falsehoods to say that they're wrong. We're tired of it. And if you're selling crazy, go somewhere else because we're all filled up.
I just think it's important to get that out there again for people who aren't familiar with you or don't know you. You still are a Republican. You consider yourself a Republican, but you believe that the 2020 election was fair. You believe that January 6th was an insurrection and people need to be held accountable, and you're not a Trump supporter. So, see, people like that who are currently elected as Republicans, you don't find many people willing to say those things. What you just said, I think there's a lot of folks that say, hey, I could do business with a Republican like that. The problem is we don't have a lot of those people out there. We have about 4 minutes left. I want to spend a couple of minutes, Dale, on just as you were leaving the legislature, there were a lot of times in your caucus when you would say, hey, I've talked to John Sharples or I've talked to, you know, whoever at UW who actually were Republican or conservative leaning, and you would literally be cut off and they'd say, oh, yeah, you know, those liberal academics. There is an attack. Your wife was an enormously successful district administrator, superintendent of the Richland Public Schools for many, many years. So you're familiar with education at all levels. There is an attack by the Republican Party on education in this state and in this country. Kathy Sandeen, former chancellor, talked about this on our show last week. From your point of view, what is happening with the Republican Party and their attacks on education, and what are the results of that?
Well, rather than having an agenda, we now have a Republican Party that refuses to have a platform. It's led by people who refuse to say before an election what they're going to do afterwards. They're offering up scare tactics, boogeymen, in fear to guide people to do whatever they want. And I think that's wrongheaded. Educators are people who are essential to all of us. And it's a mistake, I think, a terrible, horrible mistake when many of my Republican brethren decide that the easiest thing to do is to demonize these people rather than to work with them and to try to make our society better for everyone. And those folks are very skilled at putting together plans to help us do that. And in fact, Sandeen was an outstanding example of that. Of looking at a situation where we had dropping enrollment and we had a pandemic and figuring a way how we could move forward. And we need to, you know, strengthen people like that rather than trying to figure out how we can demonize them.
But she was cut off by Ray Cross, never allowed to even put that plan forward for the two-year colleges. And I find that appalling. But time and again, the Republican Party has tried to make educators, as you call them, the boogeymen, when what they don't get is what you got, which are places like Weston and Cazenovia, Ithaca. Those public schools are the community.
Well, absolutely. And in a very real sense, we thrive or are diminished by the health of our local school districts. It's just heartbreaking when I hear in rural areas that we continue to have trouble hiring the professionals we need to do the jobs that need to be done, math and science. How are we ever going to join, a future economy without those professionals, without the universities that churn out those professionals? And we have to be more far-sighted in the next election.
Dale Schultz, Republican from Richland Center, my former boss, former Senate Majority Leader. Thank you. We could talk much more. We'll have you back again if you'd be so kind. Thanks for coming on today and enlightening us. Always great to have you, my friend. Have a wonderful day. We didn't talk about deer hunting.
No, we didn't. But before I let you go, I just want to say thank you to Aaron. I love that theme music for the day.
Thanks, Dale. We'll back after this next hour of the Todd Allball Show.